Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
The right policy for Iran, for every good, decent government in the world, is regime change. Regime change. Regime change, absolutely. Let him hear it in Tehran.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall in the Issues of Life. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And I want to thank you for tuning in today. I'm going to be joined by my lovely wife, Donna, and we're going to bring to you a lot of information. We're going to bring to you a warning. We're going to bring to you words that need to be prayed about. The things that we share tonight, I pray that they will reach many hearts. And I pray that people out there that are on the fence, that are confused, that aren't sure of the direction that America is going, I'm hoping that those of you listening will take this information to prayer. Share this message with everyone that you know because, well, let me just give you the quick summary, ladies and gentlemen. War is coming, not only to the United States, but to the entire planet. The people of God must fill their lamps with oil to be able to navigate the days that are coming. Now, Donna, why don't you go ahead and say hi to our friends out there that are listening?
Hello, everyone. I'm really happy to be back with you.
Yeah, we are happy. It's been a while, and in my absence, a lot of things have been taking place. Real quick, for those that don't know, the reason for my absence has been an injury that I had. I've been in recovery. I broke my back and my arm, but I'm pretty much recovered. There's a few things that still I'm working through physical therapy-wise, but for the most part, my body's a lot better, and I want to just say thank you to everyone that gave us encouraging words and supported us through this trying time. I want to get right into the program because there's a lot to cover, and the things we're going to share today, they can't be covered in one program. Actually, it would take a lot of programs to cover all.
Yes, it would for sure.
While I've been healing, I've been keeping abreast of the news. I have been watching the landscape, the horizon. I don't know what words we can use to describe what's going on right now, but it is a huge charade, and America has been thrust into darkness. There's a thick fog that is covering the land. And for the people out there that are hoping for clear skies and good weather and greatness and a return to how it used to be years ago, Donna, those days are behind us, aren't they?
They are. They're not coming back either, not if you follow scripture.
I know a lot of people are hoping that things are going to turn around, that America is going to be great. And I don't blame the basic innate nature of a human to want that. Most people want hope because they have loved ones, they have kids, and who wants to see problems come? Who wants to see chaos? No one does. So that's why a lot of people have been hoping that change was coming, but it's not, is it?
Our hope is going to come in a different form, and that's going to be when Jesus comes back. That will be the fulfillment of our hope.
Now, Donna, a lot of people have become angry with Watchman's Cry, with you, with me, because we have continued to shout the warning, and I have no doubt that the warning that God began this ministry with 10 years ago, it has not changed. But a lot of people wanted change. They were hoping that Donald Trump was going to change the landscape and turn things around, and we maintained that that wasn't going to happen. And now we see the proof that it's not happening. There's no doubt now. We're in the second year of his presidency. He has signed two budgets. He recently signed the omnibus appropriations budget, which is a conglomeration of several bills into one. But a lot of people got mad at us because we did not bend. And in fact, I think we have been one of the few voices that have gone against the grain that Trump's going to change everything. We've gone against that. And it has not come without pain. It has not come without damage to us. It has not come without attacks and hate. So there's a lot of feelings that people have because they didn't want to hear what we had to say. But now, the proof is here. Ladies and gentlemen, the proof is before our eyes. And I'm not here to say I told you so. We are here to say, let's stay the course. Let's keep pressing on. And if some of you might have perhaps fallen asleep, or maybe you weren't as vigilant because you were just waiting on the sidelines to see what was going to happen. We want to challenge you to get back on the saddle of vigilance, the preparation of getting ready for all those things that we have been talking about for years. The elect of God, the remnant of God, God's people, those who have been watching before Trump got elected during Obama, they were alarmed, and God's people didn't like the direction we were going in. During Obama, they were awake, they were vigilant. Then Trump came around and people were hoping, but now we have the truth. So we're going to talk about where do we go from here. I'm going to say some things on this program, and again, ladies and gentlemen, I am not saying these things to anger anybody. I'm not saying these things to make the brethren mad or to point fingers or to say I told you so. None of that. I'm just stating reality, and I would hope that those of you that are listening to this, if a family member asked you to hear this program and they said, hey, you need to hear the warning from Nathan and Donna from Watchman's Cry, they have some important things to share. We're not sharing this out of hatred or bitterness or with malicious intent. We are sharing these things so that the people of God can become ready. Now, we're going to talk about the war that's coming, but how did we get here? Donna, how did American evangelicals get to the place where, as reality is marching before their eyes, as Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before their eyes, instead they are just looking elsewhere and listening to the report of peace, peace, and everything is great. How did that happen? Well, it happened with manipulation. In the last election, the American evangelicals got manipulated. A psychological operation took place against the conservatives of America. What we're talking about is 50 million Facebook members had their information, their profiles, their likes. Everything about them was robbed from their profiles, Donna. Mm-hmm. And that information was used by a group of people who are in high places, and these are billionaires. These are individuals who represent the elite of the world. They weaponized this information and used it to manipulate.
It was mind control.
It was mind control, and it has to do with Cambridge Analytica. Some of you might have heard that word in the news, but maybe you're so fatigued now with the news about the election and the Mueller investigation on Trump, and it's all a sham. Trump regularly tweets that it's a witch hunt. None of it's true. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about something that is proven. Several institutional operations took place to sway your vote and to sway people down to the actual individual.
And I don't even know if sway is strong enough a word for what they did, because generally in a political campaign, there are two sides and each one puts up commercials trying to sway you. But at the bottom of the commercial, they put who paid for the ad so that you know that they're kind of trying to push you one way or the other. In this case, they data mined you and then turned it around and weaponized it on you.
Who is Cambridge Analytica again, folks? I'm going to have to do a separate program on Cambridge Analytica, on the players that have been discovered now. I have a bunch of names that I'm going to be sharing, and some of those names maybe you'll hear for the first time. Others you're familiar with because they've been around since Bill Clinton. For example, John Bolton. Mm-hmm. John Bolton, we're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about Robert Mercer, the billionaire, Rebecca Mercer, Steve Bannon, Pompeo. There is a list of individuals whose sole purpose is to take America to the chaotic state that they have been dreaming about and salivating about. Donna, we've talked about this. Most of the listeners know about order out of chaos, mm-hmm. the Illuminati, the Freemasonic desire to crash the economy. They need chaos.
Yes.
Ladies mm-hmm. and gentlemen, you know this. In order for the phoenix to rise with the new money system, most of the listeners have heard about the front page from the Economist magazine from 1988
right.
that said there's going to be a new money in 2018. Remember that, Donna?
Yes, I do remember that.
The cover of the Phoenix. We've talked about that, and they've hinted at it at the 2012 Olympics in Britain. Mm-hmm. They showed us in the closing ceremonies of the 2012 Summer Olympics the Phoenix rising from the ashes. They were projecting what was coming. So we know that in order for the New World Order to rise from the ashes, which will fulfill the Bible, Revelation 13, the beast rises from the sea. The world kings will come together and give their authority to the beast for a season, a short season. We know that all those things have been prophesied. So people are wondering, when is it coming? Well, it is in motion right now, ladies and gentlemen. So for those of you that have heard reprieve is coming, Trump's going to stop it. Well, as we go forth and as you listen to this information I'm going to share, Trump is accelerating it, ladies and gentlemen, because on April the 9th, this coming Monday, if you're listening to this after April 9th, and if nothing happens, if the Senate and the Congress do not stop John Bolton from his new position as Trump's main guy to give him counsel, to have Trump's ear.
Which they most likely won't because they've let him in before.
Well, he couldn't be Secretary of State because there's too much contrary information about him. He could not get approved. But his position that he's been tapped for now, he will be able to walk into the Oval Office. And John Bolton is proof. If we ended our show right now and I came to you and said, folks, I know you've been told that everything's going to be great. However, John Bolton is about to enter into the equation. And because of that, get ready for World War III. And if I turn off the program, that would be enough warning right there. But then some of you might not know what I'm talking about, or maybe you'll need more information so that you could see how important this is. Well, if we go back to the 90s, do you remember the Project for a New American Century, that document, the think tank that rose up during Bill Clinton? And that's what they called themselves, the Project for a New American Century. The acronym is PNAC, PNAC. They wrote a white paper, a summary, called Rebuilding America's Defenses. And in that summary, they basically scripted the agenda for the next several decades of America. And they said the script was going to take several decades. It also said that they needed a new Pearl Harbor event. We had 9/11. Mm-hmm. It also said the nations in the Middle East that they wanted to invade.
It did. It had a long list.
It was Libya, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq. Of course, there's North Korea. The nations that they mentioned are now being occupied by America, or they're in the middle of conflict. And the ones that have not been invaded yet are North Korea and Iran. Those are the big ones. Iran's the biggest one, actually. They have the largest population. They're the most formidable. And John Bolton has written extensively about invading North Korea and Iran. He said America will not be safe, the world will not be safe, the region in the Middle East will not be safe, Israel will not be safe, unless we do a regime change in Iran. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. So folks, grab a cup of coffee, grab a pen and paper, and take notes. Also, I'm going to be placing a lot of this information in an article so that you can go back to my website and read the talking points and see the citations and the links to prove that I'm not just making this stuff up. In this program, we're also going to provide the actual sound bites of John Bolton saying that war is coming. Now, how did we get here, Donna? How did we get here? Well, Donald Trump is the president, and a lot of people went to sleep. Conservatives went to sleep. Evangelicals went to sleep, and they have given him carte blanche to basically do what he wants because they believe that his motives, even though they may look confusing at first, have the basis of genius behind them, that Donald Trump is playing. I've seen 3D chess, 4D chess, 5D chess. Deep state is against him. Folks, you've heard these things. But when we look at his actions,
somebody who plays 3D, 4D, 5D chess doesn't need to lie because they're sly enough to get it past you without blatantly lying.
But Trump has a habit of lying. He exaggerates. He calls it truthful hyperbole. And in fact, in his book, Donna, in The Art of the Deal, Donald Trump let us know his method. And he made a statement that was in there.
Here, I'll read that to you. I play to people's fantasies. People want to believe that something is the biggest and the greatest and the most spectacular. I call it truthful hyperbole. It's an innocent form of exaggeration. It's a very effective form of promotion.
From Donald Trump, he believes in truthful hyperbole, and he says, I play to people's fantasies. Now, I mentioned Cambridge Analytica earlier. We were talking about how they stole Facebook data. Here's what's interesting. Cambridge Analytica was a spinoff of another company in Great Britain, and the billionaire computer genius Robert Mercer and his daughter Rebecca Mercer,
an American oligarch.
Yes. He invested in Cambridge Analytica here in the United States. He funded it with another individual named Steve Bannon. Now, Steve Bannon and him both founded Cambridge Analytica. And then they hired data mining scientists and professors who took data from Facebook, and they figured out a way to, based on a person's profile in Facebook, you know when you're on Facebook, Donna, ads will pop up? I don't know if you've been a part of Facebook and you've clicked the like button on anything, then
I have many times.
Well, then they mapped you already. Mm-hmm. It came forth, one of the data mining scientists, he's a young person. If you were to see him on the street, you would think he was just some millennial who rides a skateboard and lives with his mom.
Yeah, just a typical millennial, yeah.
His hair's pink. He has a ring through his nose. He doesn't look conventional. His name's Chris Wiley. He's a genius. He's brilliant. And he came up with the algorithms to be able to go on Facebook and mine the information. Chris Wiley.
And he originally came up with the idea to help the fashion industry, but he couldn't get it applied there.
And after he worked on the operation, he started feeling guilty, and then he came forward, just like Edward Snowden.
Yes.
Snowden had a clash of conscience, and he became a whistleblower. Same thing with Chris Wiley. And who would have thought, Donna, Chris Wiley's a homosexual?
Mm-hmm.
But even he has scruples.
Enough to see that it was wrong to manipulate people, play mind games with them.
To manipulate America.
Yeah.
Now, some people could argue and say, well, this is just his word against the others. But he has the actual emails, documentations, the files. So he's not making it up. He is a truthful whistleblower because the parliament in Great Britain has actually summoned him to come and share what happened.
They're going to fine Facebook for what happened.
The British government is.
For them allowing this data mining to go on.
Right. So Chris Wiley came forth and he said that, well, as an example, and I don't have the exact numbers, but here's an example. On Facebook, when you see something that in your feed and your friends might put up a meme or a story or a news report or just talking about themselves, you click like or not. It's a response.
Yes.
Chris Wiley made an algorithm that was able to go into people's Facebook profiles and it looked at every like that they clicked on.
Everyone.
Every like. And Chris Wiley said, if we just were able to observe 16 likes from a person, we could pretty much guess what their aspirations were, where their conscience was, if they were religious, what they liked politically, what kind of music, with 16 likes. And then he bumped it up. He said, with 160 likes, 10 times more, we could know you better than your friends. We could know predictively the direction you were going to go. We could know if you were going to like another similar thing in the future. And then he took it further. He said, above that, you know, in the 200, 300, 400 likes, we would know you better than yourselves. Now, that's pretty startling, Donna, but he also said this. He said when they stole all the profiles, they were getting thousands of likes from every profile because people have been on Facebook long enough to like and click on every day. How many times do people like something? So he said we have 4,000 to 5,000 data points, and with those, we can predict everything about these people. We know if we put a certain meme in front of their face or a picture or a JPEG, or a politician.
Ugly woman versus pretty woman.
All of that. They know that if they put a certain JPEG in front of someone, how the person's going to react. They had it down to that. So they took that ability and then they purposely. Now, Cambridge Analytica then knew how to predict how people were going to react. And then because Steve Bannon was one of the owners, he had a media company.
Glittering Steel.
Steel?
Mm-hmm, like metal.
They took that information. And Steve Bannon's media company, Glittering Steel, then made videos, little
memes
movies,
also
memes, and then they aimed them to place the ads in a particular person's Facebook feed. And Cambridge has admitted this. Some of the sticking points or that really got a rise out of people or out of conservatives or evangelicals during the election was Hillary. Lock her up.
Mm-hmm.
Cambridge Analytica came up with the term lock her up. And when they had pictures of Hillary, they instead of the crooked Hillary, they put handcuffs for the two O's. So they made these JPEGs and said, lock her up. Hillary needs to go to prison. And they blasted the evangelicals and conservatives and people who were pro-Trump with all of these memes about Hillary. They did the same thing about Rubio, about the opposition, Nick Cruz.
Mm-hmm. And never at any point did Trump or anyone on Trump's campaign intend to lock Hillary up. This was just a manipulation of our minds by this company.
Well, Cambridge found out what sort of memes had the strongest emotional response from people, and that's what they went with. For example, now watch this, folks. A lot of people said, I'm going to vote for Trump because he's going to drain the swamp. They said that because they believed it. Trump is going to drain the swamp. But then when Trump got into office, he had Henry Kissinger meeting with him. Now, what was that all about?
That's not much of a drain.
He placed Thiel, the owner of PayPal, as one of his right-hand guys in his steering committee. And also, he gave a speech at the RNC. You know, Peter Thiel, PayPal's guy, the homosexual who actually stated in his RNC speech that he was a homo, and everyone clapped.
They did. And he drinks the blood of young men.
Oh, yeah. He's fighting aging, and he's messing with this voodoo science where if you drink the blood of young 18, 20-year-old men, somehow his DNA...
I think
DNA,
he's injecting it, but yeah, difference does it make?
Well, that's vampirism as far as I'm concerned, Donna. Yeah. Well, Peter Thiel is on the steering committee. Folks, watch this. The owner of PayPal... Thiel, T-H-I-E-L, you can look this up yourself, is on the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group. He doesn't just attend the Bilderberg meetings. He's on the steering committee on the direction that Bilderberg wants to take the world. And Donald Trump had him as the speaker at the RNC. Now, if Trump was draining the swamp, why in the world would he have a member of the Bilderberg steering committee speaking at his rallies? Why did Thiel sit next to him at a lot of the meetings?
Well, draining the swamp was never Trump's idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, please place this on the table. If you've been awake long enough and you heard this promise that at least we have a reprieve, etc., drain the swamp. Again, do not look at what they say. Look at what they do. Look who they hang around with. Look who they surround themselves with. It says in Psalms 1:1, blessed is a man
who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He hired Thiel.
Now, Cambridge Analytica played with several slogans in the early stages of the Trump campaign, and they came up with a statement that really got a rise out of their subjects. When they tested it on Facebook, as well as other places on the internet, the response rate was very, very high. It was emotional, and it really made a connection. Now, that term, drain the swamp, has been used for decades in politics. It's not new. It is not new, but they found out that when people heard that, it really touched the nerve of the nationalistic, patriotic, populist voter who was tired of the status quo, who was tired of the left-right lie that we have been given. So when they heard Trump say, drain the swamp, they said yes, and they cheered. But that term, drain the swamp, came from Cambridge Analytica. Trump didn't invent it. That was not his idea.
He didn't want it.
In fact, let me just play this, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to show you that Trump admits that drain the swamp was not his idea. In fact, he thought it was dumb. Now watch this.
Funny how that term caught on, isn't it? I tell everyone, I hated it. Somebody said drain the swamp. I said, oh, that's so hokey. That is so terrible. I said, all right, I'll try it. So like a month ago, I said, drain the swamp. Place went crazy. I said, whoa. Watch this. Then I said it again. Then I started saying it like I meant it, right? And then I said it. I started loving it. And the place loved it. It's drained the swamp. I mean, it's true. It's true.
Okay, I started saying it like I meant it.
Yeah.
Okay, you ask Christians, conservatives, evangelicals, why are you sticking with Trump even though he's surrounding himself with New World Order, Bilderberger, globalist elite? And what do people say? Well, he's going to
drain the swamp.
Folks, did you hear him say it was hokey and I said it like I meant it?
And I said it again. Then I started saying it like I meant it, right?
Which means I didn't mean it.
Right there is the proof that those slogans that people are reusing and then arguing with.
They're trying to make it a policy that he used the term drain the swamp. He just used the term to incite you. He didn't use it because it was a policy that he was planning to implement.
It just sounded good, and the people liked it, so that's why he used it. Now, Cambridge Analytica tested out the slogan, and they also tested out another one, build the wall.
Build the wall.
The wall was Cambridge's idea. Cambridge Analytica came up with drain the swamp and build the wall. And that was even before Trump started running. Trump announced his campaign in the summer of 2015. But they came up with drain the swamp and build the wall.
It was in 2014.
They had it before Trump even used it.
So they already knew what would start to sway us in the direction they wanted us to go.
So the people don't know this, though. They were
seduced. They didn't realize that those slogans were created and would later become the foundation of what Trump's entire campaign was built on.
What does that tell us? That tells us that what Trump said, he didn't really believe. He just wanted to win. Trump is not a conservative.
Usually in a political election, the candidates argue the facts. This had nothing to do with facts or policies. These were just slogans to manipulate emotions. That's it. They weren't trying to appeal to your intellect and to your mind. They were trying to appeal to your emotions. And as Christians, we know that emotions are not always right. Emotions can lead us astray.
Exactly, Donna. So these scientists from Cambridge Analytica were able to find out what people liked, and then they fed memes on their Facebook page as well as Twitter. Right. It was all over the place. There's even fake websites. When these scientists were able to have this much information, they could not only persuade, but they could manipulate. Even on their own website, Cambridge Analytica admits that they're able to manipulate.
Yeah, let me read it to you. More effectively engage and persuade voters using specially tailored language and visual ad combinations crafted with insights gleaned from their behavioral understandings of your electorate. Gain the advantage over your opponents by adding our blend of big data analytics and behavioral psychology to your campaign arsenal, together with unmatched understanding of your electorate, how do they know that, Facebook, we will pinpoint the voters who will turn the tide in your favor and creatively engage them and drive them to the ballot box.
The difference between a negative ad and what they were doing, what's the difference, Donna?
Legally, they have to tell you who paid for that ad and if the candidate approved of that ad. They have to tell you that so that you can see the ad and then make a mental judgment whether or not you believe they're giving you truth or lies.
Exactly. When they made memes and stuck them on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and social media and forums, websites, all over the internet, the memes did not say paid for by Donald Trump or Cambridge or a super PAC. They were placed like they were real news. And by the way, one of their other tactics was fake news. And this is what's interesting. Cambridge Analytica has been exposed now. Channel 4 News from Great Britain did an undercover sting camera, hidden camera, and they pretended that they were a possible customer for Cambridge from Sri Lanka. And the person with the hidden camera was pretending they needed the help of Cambridge. And they were asking them, how can you help us? And Christopher Nix, N-I-X, admitted that they use negative ads and they make up fake stories and negative stories on the opposition. And the person interviewing him said, so what if they're not true? And he said, well, no one can trace them back to us because we have ways to place them on the internet and no one will know.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually admitted that they use weaponized fake information, fake news, fake reports. And how interesting is it, Donna, that the campaign that was using the most fake reports, by the way, they said, I think the number has been in the tens of thousands. I don't know the exact number, but it's a crazy number. They made custom ads.
Right.
And a lot of those ads were fake about Hillary, the fake threat about Hillary that she was about to have a seizure or she had a brain tumor and she was about to die.
Yes.
That was all them. The health scare was fake. They also came up with fake news against Cruz, against Rubio, all the opposition. So
they had their candidate picked from the beginning.
Yes, they did. Now, Steve Bannon, folks, you know Steve Bannon, the guy that evangelicals say is a Christian, and he's part of the Heritage Foundation and the Council for National Policy, that Christian organization that Tim LaHaye is a member of. Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon are also members. And they go there and they talk about their populist ideas. They talk about how we have to destroy Iran. Their organization is very secret. They're not allowed to record, but we have leaks coming out that tell us. They talk about empire building. It's PNAC stuff.
Yes,
Project
it is.
For New American Century. It's the same neoconservative militarism that we have hated.
NAR, and it's NAR because it's religious.
It's also religious because they talk about dominionism and the Christians are going to take over. Now, Steve Bannon is the owner of Cambridge Analytica, and he was behind this whole thing. When Donald Trump was not winning in the polls, Robert Mercer, the billionaire who invested a lot of money into Cambridge Analytica with Steve Bannon, then made contact with the Trump organization. Well, his daughter did, Rebecca Mercer, and they told Trump that we can turn your election around. If you hire us, you're going to win. So Trump said, great. And Trump invested several million dollars into Cambridge Analytica. But Robert Mercer told this to Trump. He said, however, if you hire us, you have to put our people in charge of your campaign. And our people are Steve Bannon and Kellyanne Conway.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put them in charge. So Trump hired them. Now, it's interesting that when they fired Paul Manafort, who was in charge of Trump's campaign, and then a few days later placed Steve Bannon in charge, what we heard on the news was that Ivanka and Jared Kushner decided over the weekend that Paul Manafort wasn't the greatest choice, so they were going to bring in Steve Bannon. And we were told that the kids decided by themselves, out of the blue. But that's not the real story. The real story, Donna, is that Mercer is a kingmaker. He's the puppet master, and he told Trump how it was going to be. So when Trump enlisted them to help, they also told Trump what his new campaign slogan was going to be and some of the things, the direction he was going to go.
And Mercer is a very interesting character.
Robert Mercer is a billionaire. No one really knows how much he's worth. The estimates are $12 to $15 billion. Robert Mercer worked for IBM and came up with a program and a method to predict how people would buy the stock market, what stocks they would invest in on a daily basis, based on predictive data information. Mm-hmm. And he mastered this algorithm, and he took this information to a hedge fund called Renaissance Technologies, and they hired him. They brought him in with his program, and in a very short time, the returns for his predictive stock
programming
was getting returns from the 30s all the way up to the 80% annual from stocks. 30 to 80%. That's off the charts. That's incredible.
Yes. Unheard of.
It's unheard of. And some of the things that he has been able to master is the news that is placed on Monday out there, or the weather, or a localized event, or a political event. He is able to take all these events taking place and then match them up with stocks and then decide whether to short a stock or go long or sell or buy. And because he has this information or this computer program, he's a billionaire now.
And they have the medallion part of the Renaissance Group, which is exclusive. You can't just join it. That's where his method is.
Yeah, they have a spinoff of Renaissance called Medallion, and they're not allowing any more investors. The main people of Renaissance, the founding people from years ago, which includes him, are in Medallion. And there's a lot of billionaires. It's
exclusive,
crazy.
And they don't want you in it.
Right. So Robert Mercer was able to monetize the predictive, persuasive responses from investors and gain from it. Now, another interesting thing about Robert Mercer, he has a fixation with owls. His house is called the Owl's Nest, Donna. Mm-hmm. And
he has a very expensive yacht, huge, and it's called the Sea Owl.
So he likes owls.
It's this beautiful staircase in the center of his house. And when you stand back and look at it, it looks like two owl's wings about to lift and take off.
And you know what's interesting, Donna, is the builders who built his house live in a little hamlet called Bohemia, New York. Does that remind you of something?
Bohemian Grove in California, which you have to be invited to. It seems that a lot of the wealthy like have icons for something that is powerful in their life. So for him, it's owls.
His house looks like an owl's face.
Yeah, it has like a beak on the top and like two eyes. It's very interesting.
So Robert Mercer, who has a fixation with owls, and he doesn't talk much. According to what I've read, you can go to a party where he is hosting and he'll only say one or two words the entire night. He's very eccentric, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
That nerdy genius that some people have, he has that. But here's the part that is very disturbing about Robert Mercer, Donna. Some of his ex-colleagues have come forth and stated that Robert Mercer, if they say, what does he want? Why did he put Trump into office? What does he want? Well, if you look at some of the statements that Steve Bannon made, because Bannon's a libertarian and has stated that he wants chaos, he said he's part of the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan, he really admires Satan because Satan's in the dark side. Mm-hmm. and creates chaos. So I'm paraphrasing, by the way.
I remember that, though. We talked about that before.
Mercer has a similar political ideal, and he believes that he wants the government to be destroyed. The U.S. government, he says, I want to reduce it to the size of a pinhead. He wants to destroy all of it. Seek and destroy. Conquer and destroy. Now, what does that look like? What do we mean by that? Well, he wants to reboot the government and make it to his liking. But then, well, some people will say, well, what's wrong with that, Nathan? We want less regulation. Well, this is the other thing that he also wants. He believes that Black people, African Americans, had it better before Martin Luther King showed up.
Unbelievable.
You know, the colored
bus. That's just unbelievable. Yes.
The water fountains, and they had it better.
I guess if you ask him, he feels that way. Let's ask a Black American.
He also has a disdain for Jewish causes. He's on record saying anti-Semitic things. Here's the doozy, Donna. He says that nuclear war exploding a nuclear bomb isn't so bad. In fact, the radiation from a nuclear bomb has health benefits.
Yeah, he believes that Hiroshima and Nagasaki made the Japanese people healthier.
So he wants to see a few nuclear bombs explode.
Mm-hmm. So he has no problem nuking nations.
So when we look at what Donald Trump is doing, you know, the State Department, they said, is unstaffed by a high percent. Trump is getting rid of, he has not replaced some of the outgoing diplomats in embassies around the world. There's a lot of unfilled positions in his administration.
Diplomats would be dissenters to war because they don't want to see war.
Well, there's a lot of positions that Trump has not filled. And when people report on it, when CNN or Fox News or any of them report on the mystery of why Trump is not filling his administrative positions and it makes no sense, well, Robert Mercer states he wants to see the government reduced to a pinhead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his daughter, Rebecca Mercer, is his voice. She has sat in with meetings with Ivanka and Steve Bannon and Jared Kushner,
mm-hmm.
Mike Pence's assistant. She, I guess, feels entitled to sit in on meetings and actually argue with some of the decisions that are being made. She's actually raised her voice and argued with all of them. This has all come out. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the administration, she argued for John Bolton to be a part of the administration, and they argued against it at the time.
Right.
Steve Bannon wasn't sure about it, and Kushner wasn't sure about it, Pence wasn't sure. And one of the reasons was because John Bolton comes with baggage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot. He's been in there a long time.
Well, he was the main cheerleader for the 2003 invasion of Iraq, which now we know was a false war. It was a war based on
a lie.
A lie. And most politicians now admit that, but mm-hmm. John Bolton still justifies it. He says no. He wants the United States to destroy Iran, to do regime change in Iran, to bomb Iran. He has stated that he really believes that it's safe. It is something that can be done successfully with no problems.
Because Iran doesn't have any allies?
Yes. John Bolton is a cheerleader for war with both Iran and North Korea. He's been wanting it for the longest time because, again, going back, he was one of the original members of the Project for a New American Century. Donna, if you open up the PDF of the PNAC document, Project for a New American Century, Rebuilding America's Defenses.
And will you have a link to that on the website?
Yeah, I'll have that. People can download it. On page 2, Donna.
Mm-hmm. The second to the last name under the list of people who worked on it is John R. Bolton.
Thank you. I also want to tell the audience about something else in the PNAC document. You know, people forgot about it.
They
figured, well, we did the 2003 invasion of Iraq, so I guess the PNAC, it's old and dated, expired. No. In the PNAC document, it lays down the groundwork that this isn't going to be done overnight. In fact, it uses the term
decades. It says that this will take decades.
Donna, go ahead and read. What does that say right there? This is on page 6 of the document. What does it say right here, Donna?
It says, to meet the requirements of the 4 new missions highlighted above, the United States must undertake a 2-stage process. The immediate task is to rebuild today's force, ensuring that it's equal to the task before it, shaping the peacetime environment, and winning multiple simultaneous theater wars.
Okay, Donna, hold on. It says that we must win multiple what?
Multiple theater wars. That means more than one at a time. So when he says, I want to go to war against North Korea and Iran, he means at the same time. What does that mean for us? A draft. These forces must be large enough to accomplish these tasks without running the high and unacceptable risk that it faces now. The second task is to seriously embark upon a transformation of the Defense Department. This itself will be a 2-stage effort for the next decade or more. The armed forces will continue to operate many of the same systems it now does.
They want to transform the Defense Department. Donald Trump has come in to create chaos. And people are going, oh, he's a hero.
And I believe under Obama that he also laid off a lot of Pentagon people and never replaced them, which tells you that this is just the same path that we've been on for a long time.
Exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, the neocon Project for a New American Century operation is underway right now under the nose of the evangelicals, and they are cheering while it's happening. I've given you information that proves that what we've been told is not true. Donna, if I'm correct about this, I know not everyone's going to agree with me. Some are going to be mad, and some will say, well, Nathan, Donald Trump's efforts are above what you are describing in the natural. They are spiritual. He is here to do spiritual things. But when we look at the documentation and the people, the Council of the Ungodly, John Bolton, mm-hmm. when we see that he's about to start on April the 9th, if you're listening to this after the 9th, if he's not stopped by Congress or the Senate or any of the ethics committees, he's going to be in there and have Trump's ear. John Bolton, in addition to Pompeo, he's taken over Rex Tillerson's job, Donna. Rex Tillerson did not want to go to war with North Korea.
Well, and we already know that Trump does.
How do we know?
Because he said, we got to go in there. We got to take him out. He said things during the campaign about the short little man in charge of North Korea. He has no problem pushing his bigger button.
Now, what is going on with Iran? For years, the Ayatollahs, they took over the Khomeinis. Remember the 1979 uprising when our hostages?
I do remember it.
Ayatollah Khomeini, and there's other Ayatollahs, but these are clerics. They're radical clerics, and they've taken over Iran. There have been several exile groups that have left Iran and have been waiting in the wings, and they want to overthrow the present regime of Iran and return in power. Donna, this exile group, it's the
Mujahideen Khalq, or you can call it MEK, or the People's Mujahideen.
They're an exile group, and they have been wanting to go back. Now, for a while, for a few years, they were a terrorist group, but then they lobbied the American State Department to not be a terrorist group, so now they're not a terrorist group. And it's real interesting. They have been having annual meetings. They had one in Paris 8 months ago, and they have rallies every year. And this is what's really weird and spooky is that Newt Gingrich, remember him?
Yeah, I haven't heard from him in a while, yeah.
Ex-Speaker of the House, Newt, has spoken at their rallies, but so has Rudy Giuliani. Remember the ex-mayor of New York? Yeah, Rudy Giuliani has also gone there. And John Bolton also went there. And John Bolton and Rudy Giuliani said something very telling for the Free Iran, the MEK, the Mujahideen. Yeah. I'm going to play a video of first of Rudy Giuliani. Ladies and gentlemen, the last thing he says is very spooky. He admits that the United States is about to go to war. Okay, here we go.
And I want to tell you, the changes in Washington are very exciting. You saw on this stage, standing here, of course in Paris, but this reminds me of Paris, you saw John Bolton. You remember John Bolton. He's going to be President Trump's national security advisor. You think he changed his mind? No, in fact, if anything, John Bolton has become more determined that there needs to be regime change in Iran, that the nuclear agreement needs to be burned, and that you need to be in charge of that country with democratic allies and even democratic opponents. That's what we want. That's democracy.
Okay, let me stop there, Donna. I'm going to continue, but let me stop the tape just for a second.
Okay.
Overthrowing, doing a coup by force where a lot of people are going to die, American soldiers are going to die, our sons and daughters are going to die. That's democracy.
That's democracy. Forced regime change is democracy.
Okay, let's continue on.
The right policy for Iran, for every good, decent government in the world, is regime change. Regime change.
Okay, let me stop the tape. Everyone's standing now and clapping.
Yes, they're thrilled.
There's like 1,000 people in this room. I'll put the video up.
It's a huge room.
These are the Mujahideen members, Donna. And by the way, one of their requirements to be a part of their Mujahideen is that if you're married, you have to get divorced and you have to be celibate for the rest of your life. And they also believe in feminism and it's controlled by women.
I'm sorry. In order to be part of the Mujahideen party, because this is really a political party.
The MEK.
The MEK party.
The People's Mujahideen, right.
You must divorce your spouse and remain celibate until you die.
And then go in and invade Iran as part of the coup.
But this is a political party. I mean, basically, right? It's not like a cult. It's a political party.
Well, if you look up this group, cult does come up.
That's very awesome.
Anyway, I just wanted to say that now. He has everybody cheering. Okay, so here we go.
You... regime change, absolutely. Let him hear it. Let him hear it in Tehran. You know they're nervous. You know they're nervous. You know they're frightened. Bullies are always frightened when someone stands up to them.
Okay, let me stop for a second. You know they're nervous in Iran.
Because Iran's the bullies and they're standing up to them.
But we're about to go bomb them. John Bolton wants to bomb them. Mercer wants to bomb Iran. Rebecca Mercer, his daughter, the billionaire who owns Cambridge Analytica, Trump's handler,
yes,
wants Trump to bomb Iran. And here we have Rudy Giuliani
stumping for bombing Iran.
Stumping for bombing Iran. Now, remember, Trump was trying to find a position for him?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did.
This
find
is
it.
His job to rally the war that's coming. So the bullies are going to get taken care of. Okay, here we go.
But I'm going to conclude with telling you there's one place I want to go. There's only one place that will make me happier than being here in Toronto with you. And you know where that is. Tehran! Thank you.
There's only one place that will make me happy, and that's to be in Tehran. Ladies and gentlemen, they're letting us know what's about to happen to the United States of America and what Donald Trump is about to do, which is going to involve your sons and daughters. Now, let's listen to Bolton. Watch this.
There is a viable opposition to the rule of the Ayatollahs, and that opposition is centered in this room today. I have said for over 10 years since coming to these events that the declared policy of the United States of America should be the overthrow of the mullah's regime in Tehran. The behavior and the objectives of the regime are not going to change, and therefore the only solution is to change the regime itself. And that's why before 2019, we here will celebrate in Tehran. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Do you have a comment? What's the timeline?
And that's why before 2019, we here will celebrate in Tehran. Thank you very much.
Before 2019, it's this year. It is this year. The goal is to be in Tehran this year.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard John Bolton say that he believes that we're going to have soldiers on the streets in Tehran by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
We are in April, January, February, March, April. We're in month four.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next 8 months, how is that going to work out? Are they going to use a false flag?
They have to use a false flag. What else is going to rally everyone? Because, yeah, you could rally all the Trump supporters, but right now you couldn't rally the Democrats because anything Trump does would be bad.
And that's very true, Donna, because Trump's approval rating has been in the 40s since he was elected. But Drudge just stated, by the way, Gallup is now out of the presidential daily poll. Now it's just Rasmussen, which is pro-Trump. Right. Besides that, Drudge had it on their page that Trump is at 50%. And then the next day, now he's at 51 approval. Before that, he was at 42. So where did that 8 to 9 point swing come from? It came from Democrats because Trump signed the omnibus bill that approved abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And Dianne Feinstein was very happy with it. Mm-hmm. And Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, was very happy with it.
Yes.
So that's where the extra approval came from Democrats. People will turn on a dime,
yes,
based on their wallet and pocketbook, right, or ideology. What is it going to take? A false flag? Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be blamed on Iran. Something is going to happen, and we're going to have the involvement of Iran. We have two different things going on. We have Iran and North Korea. Mm-hmm. Trump is supposed to meet with Kim Jong in the next few weeks. We don't know how that's going to go. He has stated and hinted that if we don't like the deal that is presented, we'll get up and walk from the table. If we do like the deal, then maybe we'll stay at the table. Here's where the problem is, though. Obama made a deal with Iran
so they could have nuclear energy to make nuclear power.
They signed it, and we gave them their money back, by the way, the dollars that Obama gave them. You know, people say Obama gave that money was frozen from 1979 from when the students in Iran,
mm-hmm,
you know, they took over our embassy.
Yes.
We froze their assets, and we've been holding on to that money ever since.
Uh-huh.
So the money Obama gave to them was a refund of the money that's been frozen. Right. So when people are saying Obama gave them money, it was their money.
Right.
By the way, folks, check it out. You can look it up. That's a side note. So what's going to drive this? What's going to get us there? How hard or difficult will it be? Are we just going to walk in like we did in Iraq? Now, Iraq's population was 25 million people when we invaded them.
Mm-hmm.
Iran's 75 million. Iraq and Iran's military are not the same. First of all, Saddam's military had been pummeled 10 years earlier by Daddy Bush,
mm-hmm,
when he went into Kuwait,
yes,
and he never recovered. Now, when the time comes for us to have war with Iran, Will it be a walk in the park? If you look at any report on how bad the casualties would be, it's going to be horrible. I mean, this is not Vietnam. This is
not just their side, our boys, our sons, our daughters.
That's what I'm talking about. We do not have the resources for this. The military is not ready. And this is why Trump is beefing up the military so quickly on his budget.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the wall. It's to get ready for war. They have made an order of tens of thousands of new, you know, the Humvees and then the MRAPs.
Yeah, they're smaller now.
There's a new one called the Joint Light JLTV.
It's a little smaller, a little more maneuverable.
It's a combination of the Humvee and the MRAP. It's lighter. Mm-hmm. Military has ordered tens of thousands of these. They are in full bore production of the F-35 Lightning, the new jet that doesn't work.
Right.
That can now be shot down with the new S-300 or S-400 anti-aircraft missile from Russia. It can kill our F-35, Donna. They also have announced recently, Putin had a speech, and he announced to the world that he has a new missile that is hypersonic, meaning it goes beyond the speed of sound, 700 miles an hour. It can go Mach 10, their new missile, which is 7,000 miles an hour.
Wow.
We have nothing to stop it.
Right.
China has one. And Russia also has, you know, we have the Patriot to shoot down the Scuds. Remember during the first Iraq war, we had the Patriot missiles that were supposed to be anti-missile.
Anti-aircraft,
and right?
Anti-bomb, yeah.
Russia has a new fifth generation version of, it's the S-300 that can shoot down missiles, and they gave the technology and they have shipped these missile batteries to Iran. Also, Iran is on a fast track. They are converting their factories and they are building right now. As I speak, Donna, they're getting ready for the war. They are tripling their missile counts right now. They're getting a bunch of missiles.
And we're over here putting tariffs on metal. And steel.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
No.
So people might wonder, well, you know, Nathan, we have Skunk Works and DARPA and we have all our lasers. And we're going to have a big problem, Donna, when in the Strait of Hormuz that goes into the Persian Gulf, right there is the bottleneck. And 15 and 16 oil tankers go through that every day. The minute one of them is sunk, it's going to crash the stock market because there's a high percentage of the world's oil that comes from the Persian Gulf, and they have to go through that little inlet, the Strait of Hormuz. And the minute one is sunk, Iran has already stated that they're going to mine the whole strait. They're going to mine the Persian Gulf for ships because we have to bring our oil from Kuwait and the UAE and Bahrain. That's going to be a problem. Also, when our ships go through there, how is that going to be? Iran has been practicing to sink an aircraft carrier. They can't wait to try their new technologies. They have new missiles that Russia's given them that skim along, and we're not going to be able to resist. Now, people will say, well, we have the Phalanx Aegis, you know, that Gatling gun on all the ships that can shoot the missiles when they come.
Mm-hmm.
It shoots one missile at a time.
Yeah.
But Iran has a strategy. They have a strategy. They have it planned. They're going to, whenever they're battling our ships, their plan is to throw an influx to shotgun and let it rain down like 100 missiles at once on a ship. Right. How do you shoot all those down at once?
You can't.
Now, because our military budget is the highest in the world, Iran's is nothing, just a few billion dollars. Ours is now $700 billion. Iran has adopted a new policy. By the way, our military did a mock, supercomputers did a mock battle in the Persian Gulf in the early 2000s to see how we would fare against a war with Iran. And in that model, in the early 2000s, Iran sunk an aircraft carrier. And we didn't want to publicize how bad we did.
Right.
They sunk some of our destroyers, our warships. They were able to do it. How, Nathan, how? They have a system of war that they have adopted from China because they know they can't match us pound for pound.
Right. So they have to be smarter about it.
What they call it asymmetric warfare. Now, asymmetrical means...
It means having two sides or halves that are not the same, you know, that's
not
equal. Yeah.
And they know they're not equal. Mm-hmm. So their method of fighting is going to have to be something creative, something
Well, you
different.
Think of it like that movie Red Dawn.
Guerrillas?
Yeah, that's asymmetrical, the small group trying to fight the big group.
It's guerrilla warfare, basically. Yeah. And China has taught them this, and they have this term that's real interesting. It's called A2AD.
Anti-access area denial.
Right. And what does that mean? That means it's two-part. Anti-access, meaning Iran will try to keep the warships from going into the Persian Gulf from having access. How do they do that? With mines, with submarines, with missile batteries, with their speedboats. Yeah, Adana, A2AD,
other nations are adopting this asymmetric strategy. Iran is one of them.
And why are they doing this?
They fear us doing exactly what Bolton says we're going to do.
What is their strategy? How do they do this?
Well, they're nowhere as advanced as China is at this. They're going to put in sea mines. They're going to use ballistics and cruise missiles. They're going to use submarines, cyber weapons. It's going to be intense.
And here's the other thing that Iran knows. The language of America is frustration. We don't like a body count. We don't like to see our boys coming back with the flag-draped coffin. So what they're going to try to do is to have as high of a body count as possible. They have said this. They want to kill as many Americans as possible. So America will tell the administration, we don't want this war.
Yes,
stop it.
Yes.
Just like Vietnam.
And you think of Iran and even China, if China helps them, they don't have a respect for life that most Americans have.
Exactly. In fact, they're going to use a lot of suicide bombers. And it's not going to be limited to the Persian Gulf.
Right.
Suicide bombers, there's going to be sales all over the world.
Yes.
Hitting Europe, hitting Britain, hitting Canada, hitting here in the States. It's going to be ugly.
Yes.
We're going to see, it, not ISIS, these are mad Iranians. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are facing the change right now before our eyes. Iran is getting ready for war. At the same time, Russia is gearing for war. They placed two videos recently. One of them showed Florida getting nuked.
Yes, it did.
And then there's a new one with the bunny. You know, Trump gave that speech from the balcony of the White House and the Easter bunny was next to him. Remember that one they shot down?
Yes, yes.
Putin took that footage, RT News, it belonged to Russia, it showed the Easter bunny reliving the nuclear war destruction that happened to America. So while Trump is saying that everybody have a happy Easter, then it shows the United States exploding with a nuclear mushroom cloud. So Russia is getting ready for war. China is getting ready for war. Iran's getting ready for war. And the United States is getting ready for war, but most of Trump's base...
But a majority of them are okay with it.
Some of them are okay with it, yes, until their sons and daughters or relatives start coming home maimed or dead in a coffin.
Yeah.
So ladies and gentlemen, the official position of Watchman's Cry has always been that God's going to allow us to go through some bumpy times of judgment. And we've talked about this. Famine, an economic crash, dollar crash is coming. Then we have pestilence, disease, and pestilence will come out of that. Not only when people are broke and we have war and the power's out and the grid's down. I don't know how it's going to play out. It may be localized, different things and different events in different parts of the country, grid down or an invasion force.
There's so many ways.
And God's going to allow this to happen and it's going to be our turn to be spanked, ladies and gentlemen. So if you are a believer in Jesus and you say, well, Nathan, what am I supposed to do? Our job is to get our hearts right with God. And you know, there's an account in the book of Ezekiel where God says he's going to judge Jerusalem and he sends the angels, six of them. One of the angels has an inkhorn, a writer's inkhorn tied around his waist. And he took that writer's inkhorn and he went up and down the streets of Jerusalem and he marked all of the people who sighed and cried over the sins of the land, meaning the people who were grieved over the sins, who saw that darkness had arrived over Jerusalem, who were not happy, who even for their own sins, even for their own soul, they sighed and cried for their own sins, their family's sins, and the sins of the land. Our homework is to get to that place so that that angel, if there's an angel that would do a similar thing, and I have no problem with that, Donna, God protects his own.
He does, yes.
And if God can protect his own, we need to do everything we can
to stay under his wing.
To stay under his wing in the secret place. Amen. You know, this isn't about, well, Hillary would have been, you know, it didn't matter who would have won. If Hillary won, she would have hired John Bolton and we would have had the same things going on.
Because they're all bought.
They're all bought. Mm-hmm. So she would have started the war as well. I'm not saying she wouldn't. She would.
Right.
We would have the school shootings and the debate on.
Abortion would still be funded.
Abortion would still be funded, but she would be trying to take away the guns just like right now. We see that happening. So it's the same, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Left or right, both sides of the aisle. Oh, also I want to add this, Donna. I have been warning for 10 years, and I've been sharing some of my prophetic dreams for 10 years as they have come. Some are published, some aren't. And I've made statements in the past that, you know, over the years God has given me, I lost count. Mm-hmm. I think I've had 50, 100 prophetic dreams.
Yeah.
And I say 50 or 100 because I don't know the count anymore. I'm not sure. And the purpose of those is to keep me on track, to keep me on my toes, to keep me vigilant, and you as well. And I share those things. And ladies and gentlemen, A lot of the prophetic dreams that I have seen involve war. They involve an occupation by Russian soldiers, Chinese soldiers. I've seen missiles explode over certain American cities, just like Henry Groover has, just like Dimitri Dudeman has, just like many of you have. A lot of God's people have been seeing these images, and they have shared them on Facebook and YouTube. And I want to just encourage everybody, our listeners, our faithful listeners, the remnant believers who are out there, to maintain their vigilance. My friend, if you're out there and you were hoping that America was going to be made great or the swamp was going to be drained, I can't say this enough. God's people got tricked, Donna. They
did. And I just, my prayer is that.
And God bless them for trying and wanting good hope, right, Donna? For wanting something good. But
yeah, well, we all want something good, but our good is not coming right now. And, you know, I'm just praying that more and more of them will start to wake up before it's too late, because there is a Kool-Aid that goes along with being a Trump supporter for the most part. And we have to ask God to open our eyes so that we can see the truth of what's in front of us.
Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and end this program. I know I gave you a lot of information, but we are at the crossroads. Every day it's so quick. The tariffs, it's affecting the stock market. The tariffs are going to hurt farmers all over the Midwest. It's chaos.
Well, and there's things we haven't even been able to touch because everything is moving so fast, like buybacks.
Thank you, Donna. We're going to talk about the coming dollar crash, how it is going to be engineered.
Like the last one was.
Yes, engineered. And we have the proof. We will cite the proof. We will show the links to prove that this thing is all planned. Chaos has been planned. Also, we have to talk about the Vegas shooting, because the one thing that I haven't mentioned to our listeners is I've done three parts in print about how things don't add up. And so people might wonder, well, what does the Vegas have to do about the big picture? Here's what it is. In the big picture, the Vegas shooting was a projection. It was an announcement by the Freemasonic Global New World Order.
Yes.
The plans of the New World Order of coming chaos and bloodshed and war. It's embedded in the Vegas shooting. We're going to talk about that in an upcoming program.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening. Please share this with your loved ones, with everybody that you know. I have the proof right here. War is coming. Now, if by some miracle of God, John Bolton somehow is not allowed into that position, maybe.
Maybe.
Of course, we have Pompeo, who is going to replace Rex Tillerson. That's also telling, because Pompeo is a war hawk just like Bolton is.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who want war and working with Trump right now.
So with that, I thank you for listening. If you appreciate what we're doing here at Watchman's Cry, we appreciate and depend on your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. So with that, stay vigilant, stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.